Well, I'm so very thankful this morning that we have the opportunity to sing truth. So there's something about this morning, just spending a little extra time singing truth through our souls. There's a way in which it kind of just gets right into us at the core to be able to sing truth and to lift us up. So maybe that's never been more important than it is right now in just the midst of a kind of a gloomy year, difficult year, an upending year, that we are able to be settled and recenter ourselves this morning to sing truth and to walk upon that truth and to live upon that truth. So I'm very thankful to the worship team to be able to just bring this before us today. Let our minds and our affections be settled once again on Jesus Christ, our Savior. This morning, we're not done yet with the singing as well. I'm going to kind of enter into the middle of it here and bring us a message from God's Word, and then we'll finish our service out this morning by singing some more. But I got to tell you, as we begin the passage of Scripture I want to look at here in just a moment, I'm going to tell you about the people that live in Barrow, Alaska. Maybe you've heard of Barrow, Alaska. Maybe you've never heard of Barrow, Alaska. But the people that live in that small community of about 5,000 people, currently, right now, they are experiencing what is known as polar night. A polar night is kind of a phenomenon where, especially being that far up north where Barrow, Alaska is, that the sun does not shine from about mid-November till mid to late January. So it's about 65 days, give or take, each year where the sun sets and then they don't see the sun again for about 2+ months. The people that live in Barrow, Alaska refer to it as the endless night. It's the night that just never ends. And now, as you can imagine, just the way that God has made us, the way that God has made our bodies, there are some consequences and some dark results that happen for people that are devoid of light, devoid of the sun for that amount of time. The people that live in that community, especially when the sun doesn't shine for those months, they sleep longer, they're more inactive. Many of them do go through bouts of depression. There is an increase that's been noted and studied, an increase in suicide, an increase in divorce, an increase in substance abuse. In fact, that little community has the highest percentage of substance abuse in our entire country. It's a difficult place to live when there is no sun there. Now, let me fast forward or just shift context a little bit to Jesus' day. The prophet Isaiah, who had prophesied many years before that when Jesus came upon the earth, he would be entering an earth that was in darkness. Now, not physical darkness, but spiritual darkness. That he would come into a context and a situation where there would be darkness of the soul. And as we can imagine, just as the body suffers physically and emotionally from physical darkness, the soul suffers tremendously even more so from spiritual darkness. The people in whom Jesus encountered in his day were in a spiritual slumber, spiritual inactivity. They lived in uncertainty. They lived in confusion. They lived in worry and fear. They lived in guilt. They lived in lostness and brokenness. All of this is because they were in darkness to the truth, that the light of the truth had not broken in and shone upon their souls yet. Now, there's one major difference between those two stories that I just shared, the darkness of Barrow, Alaska, and the darkness of Jesus' day. The people that live in Alaska, they know that sunlight is coming. They know through the experience of their lives that if they can just kind of eke it out and push through, that in about 2+ months, the sun will once again come up over the horizon. Life will somewhat crawl out from under the rock, if you will, and they will return to some semblance of normalcy because they know that the sun is coming after being buried for a while. In complete contrast, the people living in Jesus' day that were in darkness, they were not certain. The unbelievers, those that did not believe in a promised coming Messiah, they were sitting in gloom and sure judgment that there was no hope of the sun coming. It was a hopeless awaiting sitting in doom, expecting nothing but judgment from God. Their souls truly were dark and hopeless. But you know, the wonderful message, the great message in the great news of Scripture is often bound up in these two words, but God. But God. Even though Jesus broke into the world in a time of darkness, the people sitting in gloom, hopeless gloom, we're told that but God sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, and light broke on those who were dwelling in the shadow of death. Isaiah chapter, the end of Isaiah chapter 8 and into Isaiah chapter 9 says, it describes them as those that were sitting in thick darkness. God broke into their souls with the light of Jesus Christ, and things would never be the same. Now, for those of you that have been here with us on Sundays, you know we've been walking through the Sermon on the Mount, where in this famous sermon, Jesus is delivering to these listeners on the side of the hill in Galilee. Jesus told those that were listening to his sermon, "You are the light of the world." Not that they created a light within themselves, but they were reflecting the true light, because we know that Jesus later said in John chapter 8, speaking of himself, "I am the light of the world." So as his followers, we reflect and point people to the true light. And today I have just a short but hopefully powerful and soul-warming and worshipful message for us today. And I want us to think about what it means for Jesus to come to this earth and to come to us as light and life. I believe there really can't be one without the other, because as Jesus comes as light, it also brings ensuing life. And so as light, what does this mean when Scripture says Jesus is the light of the world? What does Jesus mean when he says, "I am the light"? Well, as light, Jesus illumines, shines forth, and embodies truth. Jesus brings truth of our existence to us and to our minds. Just as physical light illumines the reality of space and matter, we know this all so well. If you do get up before the sun gets up, you know that you must flip a light on in order to make sense of space and matter. Otherwise, you're just tripping and stumbling and falling around. But when light comes in the physical world, it allows us to interpret and make sense of all that is there. Just in the same way, light to the soul means that we are now able to have clarity to the eyes of the soul. That Jesus brings specifically the truth of what our life and our existence is all about. Jesus brings truth about who we are as humans. Jesus brings truth about who God is in all of his splendor and his wonder and his majesty. And I want us to just look at a couple of verses in Acts chapter 4. You know, these last couple of weeks, we've been spending a little bit of a side trail looking at what did these early messengers of the light look like? What was their life and their speech and their actions filled up with? And in Acts chapter 4 here, we get this sense of Jesus bringing light, this message of light coming into the world that clarified to the eyes of the soul what is the truth of man and what is the truth of God. So this is Acts chapter 4. I want to read verses 10, 11, and 12. This is Peter delivering this message. He said, "Let it be known to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified." Now, given the last couple of weeks, we know that in Peter's speeches, two of them were given to the leaders of Israel, or were given openly there in the temple. Here he's privately being kind of put on trial, and he makes this message. This is the third time that he has specifically said to the people of Israel, "This Jesus whom you have crucified." This message of light, the message of Jesus, the message of truth shows us and illuminates to us what is the true human condition. The true human condition is this, that we were created by God, but we want nothing to do with God. Jesus shines a light into the world, showing that once he came into the world, mankind treated the embodiment of God the way that they treated Jesus, to say, we don't want you here. We don't want you around. And so the message of Jesus Christ being put to these people here, even in Jerusalem, the religious ones that were supposed to be looking for and welcoming the Messiah, they put him on a cross. This shows the darkness of the human soul. It shows the darkness of sin. It shows the rejection of humans to God. So all of this is the light of the message of Jesus Christ, showing us what it specifically and truthfully means to be human. But it doesn't end there. It ends also with the truth, showing us with clarity of the soul, opening the eyes of the soul, how does God respond to humans who reject him? And here's where we read on in this verse. By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. That is the work of humanity. That is the work of human hands. But whom God raised from the dead. By him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus revealed man's true view towards God, but he also revealed the true power of God and the true position of Jesus, that he was the stone, the cornerstone, and the Savior. It's interesting if you look into the background of this idea of cornerstone. We don't build houses like this anymore. We don't build structures and buildings like this anymore. But often in ancient times, they would start with the one stone in the corner, which would make both walls stable and secure, and it would give guidance. And the house or the building, the structure, would begin with that cornerstone. In Jesus' day, coming into a dark world, the darkness of the soul, considered the cornerstone of Jesus, the way to build the life this way and this way, considering him as the foundation, as the beginning point, as the start, and they rejected that and said, we will build our own life, our own building, our own structure over here. The exposure of what it looks like to have a world say no to the way of Jesus and yes to their own way. This was a dark, dark time. But that is not the end of the gospel, because God's plan rises above. He sends his light of Jesus Christ into the world. He is the one in whom we build our foundation of life upon. He is the cornerstone. He makes sense of all of the structure of life, him being that chief cornerstone to build our lives upon. So Jesus illuminates. This is what it means for Jesus to be light. He illuminates and reveals the truth and the goodness of God, that this Jesus brings life and light into the world with his message. But there's a result, and this is the second part. This is why I said earlier, you can't have the message of light without the message of life. And the result of Jesus being light, bringing truth, making sense of who we are, of who God is, what he has done to provide us with forgiveness and eternal life, there is a result of that, and the result is life. The result is new life in Jesus Christ. He comes as the light, and he gives life. He awakens the soul to new life. Just like physical light draws us out of sleep and inactivity, maybe you're a child here today, maybe you're a spouse here today, and you have a hard time getting up in the morning, and so a parent or your spouse goes over and turns the light on or draws the shades back, and you realize immediately that it is the light that draws you out and pulls you out of sleep and slumber and inactivity, and it means the day is going. Let's get up. Let's get going. The light is here. It's time to be active. Just in that same way, spiritual light frees us from the grip of darkness, frees our souls from the grip of darkness, and it awakens us to live unto God. This is what it means to have new life, no longer living unto myself, no longer living apart from God, no longer living away from him, but it wakens me. The light shines in, and it arouses my heart and my life to live unto God in a new way. And I want to take us to Acts chapter 4, now at the end of Acts chapter 4, and just take a glimpse at one example of what these new messengers of the light were looking like once the light of Jesus Christ shone into them. And they said, away with the world's goods, away with the way of my own living, and I'm living unto God, and let the joy of my heart be arrested unto him. This is what took place with those early believers there in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 32. It said, now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own. So this was amazing. The light of Christ shined into their hearts, and the sentiment of their soul was, it's no longer my, but our. It's no longer me, but us. And it says they had everything in common, and with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, this light that came into the world, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Jesus brought light to these early believers. He shone into their hearts. He shone into their souls. And he brought new life so that they were together believing. They were together walking. They were together proclaiming. They were together living unbound and free. I read this passage of scripture and it just boggles my mind that they were just no longer shackled by anything of this world. Let goods and money and everything go. It's not my possession, it's his possession. And again, this isn't the embodiment and the totality of Christianity, but it is a very clear example that they were being chained down to the things of the world, and the light of Jesus Christ brought life to them where they said, it's new. All is new. No longer am I bound by the chains of darkness. No longer am I chained down to this earth and the things and the ways of this world. But eternity matters. Jesus Christ matters. My brothers and sisters in Christ matters. Love matters. Compassion matters. Care matters. And they just let it all go because of the life that Jesus Christ brought, because of the light that he spoke. As I wrap this little message here up, I want us to just picture for a moment the people living in Barrow, Alaska, milling around in the dark for a couple of months while the sun isn't shining, stumbling, fidgeting, not being able to see clearly, not knowing anything on the horizon, just milling around in physical darkness. Now I want us to just picture for a moment the souls of the people in this world who are still milling around in darkness, fumbling, tripping, wondering, maybe hoping, but just consistently and continually living in darkness of soul. But that's not the end of the story, because then light comes. Imagine the celebration living in Barrow, Alaska, when finally the sun breaks forth. I don't know if they do any crazy celebrations and traditions. It would seem appropriate, but think about the soul, and this is why we're singing here today, because when light breaks into the soul and Jesus Christ, the light of truth, breaks onto our souls, he gives us new life with it. I took the title of this morning's message from a song that we just sang a couple of moments ago called Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And there's a phrase in there that says, light and life to all he brings. As Jesus Christ breaks into our lives with light, life is right behind it. It brings new life to us. This is the one we celebrate today. This is the one we sing about today. It is the one who brings light and life to us. Let me close this time in prayer, and then we'll continue to let our hearts be nurtured, enlivened, and awakened to the light and life of Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can just take some moments in your word and consider the light of Jesus Christ. Lord, how dark would our world be without the light that you gave to it and still give to it in the message of the cross, in the message of forgiveness, in the message of salvation. This is light to our souls, and we are thrilled and overjoyed. Lord, I pray that if there be anybody here today that has never opened their heart to the light of Jesus Christ, that they would do so just now. That the light that you bring casts all the shadows of darkness and confusion and worry and fear and shame and uncertainty. It casts it away and lets your light shine in us and allows us to walk in newness of life. Lord, for those that do know you here today, would you continue to stir in our hearts a new and fresh affection? Unfetter us, untie us, and especially untie our tongues, and allow us to sing and proclaim the praises of your Son, Jesus Christ, for all that he's done, light and life sent to this earth. We thank you and praise you for this time of joyful singing. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.